How much of our destinies do we control? How much is predetermined? And how much do the environments around us play a role in who we can be or what we can do? As entrepreneurs, we like to think that we own our destinies and that we are 100% in charge. It's up to us to make the impossible possible and to turn dreams into reality. But sometimes, the real world reminds us that dreams most often live only within our minds. And not everyone will see the same visions that we do.
I walked in and I was ready to apply for a loan and made my pitch to score. And the woman said to me, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. But you got 3 strikes against you. You're a woman. You're in debt. And I don't know any successful Black women in financial services, so I think you should do something else.
That's Melissa Bradley, the co-founder of Eureka, a company on a mission to democratize economic opportunity for underrepresented entrepreneurs. She has always dreamed big, but it wasn't until her dreams started to expand beyond traditional societal expectations that she realized that in order to create her own personal destiny, she'd have to change reality for everyone else in the process. There are always exciting things happening in the world of small business. The news that grabs the headlines, though, are always the highlights, the overnight successes, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. But just like your Instagram feed, that's never the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and the press photos. Underneath all of that is the real work building something valuable and lasting. Don't get me wrong, I love crazy success stories and can be drawn into those big flashy tales just as much as the next person. But we all know that what's more important than the destination is how you get there. It's the struggles you have to overcome and the insights you learn along the way that make you who you are. So those are the stories we're telling. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Hillary Georgie. And this is The Journey. Growing up, Melissa was an avid reader, obsessed with stories of success and innovation. She knew the hero's journey inside and out, and those stories equipped her with the mindset she'd need later on as an entrepreneur.
I was very fortunate that my mom and my family made sure that I was aware of options, which has become paramount as a parent. And so there was a period of time where I thought I wanted to be president of the United States. And my mother went out and bought me this visual map of all the presidents. And I kept saying, well, where are the women and where are the Black people? And she was like, yep, hasn't happened yet. I remember once for a very brief moment, I wanted to be an astronaut. Then I wanted to be a teacher. So I went through a lot of phases, but I think they all involved being responsible. They involved leading and they involved fulfilling things that I was really passionate about. My mom made sure that I read books, not necessarily kid books, but biographies. So I also remember being quite inquisitive and trying to understand people's journeys. I remember reading a lot around famous Black figures and entertainment and media and politics and trying to understand how did they get where they are.
While Melissa loved reading, she was also fond of numbers, and the numbers were pointing her in a certain direction toward proven and predictable success. So she headed to Georgetown University to study finance with a plan to become a successful investment banker.
The year before I graduated, there was a slight dip in the market. And I was like, oh, shoot, like, what am I going to do now? And I ended up being very fortunate to get an internship the summer of my junior year. I did well enough that they made me an offer. And I said, great, I'll take the job. Wasn't even really sure what the heck I was going to be doing, but I took the job. Because I knew I did not want to get caught in the crazy interview cycle. And when I went to work there, I was told probably about 6 months in after being accepted into a leadership development program that was supposed to fast track me to management, that I wasn't going to get that chance unless somebody died or they left the company. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I signed this agreement. You told me I'm going to have this pathway. And then it's basically shut down. And to me, it seemed relatively quite arbitrarily shut down. And so that was quite disconcerting.
Melissa saw red flags in that conversation. And a few months later, her suspicions were proven correct. The company was relocating and she would be forced to relocate too.
I learned that I was going to go from DC to California. That was not of interest to me, particularly when I kept probing on the back nine on what some of the perks were and realized there was really no raise. And I was at least smart enough to know the cost of living in California was very different from DC. And so I said, this is not going to be for me. And I was very transparent with my manager And I said, I prefer not to quit right now, but I'd like to pursue some other options. And she said, as long as it doesn't interfere with your regular work, you go do what you got to do. And I felt that while entrepreneurship had always been something on my mind, I realized this belief that I had been told that corporate America was going to take care of me was false. And I needed to figure out how to take care of myself.
Melissa decided corporate America wasn't for her, at least not here. So she took fate into her own hands.
I had met with HR and had a set date to leave. And so that was actually a huge motivator because I said, if I walk out this door, I don't have a paycheck. I have rent to pay. And my safety net's about to end. I better get my act together.
With only a few months left in her current position, she began to use every second of free time to do market research for the company she envisioned creating. And as she neared the end of one chapter of her journey, she was excited to open a new one. And that's when Melissa took her pitch and headed to the Small Business Administration to get a loan.
The woman said to me, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm eager. I'm ready to learn. Tell me what I need to do to change. She said, well, you're a woman. And I said, oh, well, I can't really change that. What else you got? And then she said, well, you're in debt. And I was like, well, no kidding. I came from a single parent household. I had financial aid when I went to school. So of course I've got student loans. I'm in debt. And she said, and I don't know any successful Black women in financial services. And at that point, I just got up and left. But I realized that, you know, this idea that I could do anything and be anything that had been instilled in me at birth and throughout the stories that I read of success and the heroes and the triumphs could literally be cut short by one person, which reinforced I need to really own my own destiny.
Melissa left that meeting disappointed and angry, but more determined than ever.
At first it was, I can do this because I have a safety net and it's comfortable. When it was uncomfortable, there was a motivation to prove people wrong that I would say accelerated my growth and the success of the company and allowed me to do some non-traditional things and think about non-traditional markets that are all mainstream today.
Without the help of the SBA and without mentors in the industry to lean on, Melissa was left on her own. So she got to work learning however and wherever she could.
I didn't know any entrepreneurs. So I talked to friends of mine I'd met in corporate America more about strategy and structure. I went to probably every possible free session and seminar. And then I did a lot of reading. So, you know, had a group of people that I could talk to about the building of a company because they were company executives. I had a set of books that I could read around that personal pursuit and maintaining your resilience and fortitude and keeping your chin up and all that kind of stuff. And then I'd say the real core business competency, I would just get where I could and talk to different people who were maybe a half a step or two ahead of me and just really understand what they did so that I could be aware of what was ahead of me, even if I wasn't appropriately ready.
Melissa began running free finance workshops around the city that showcased the work she did. She received a stream of positive feedback from attendees and learned that there was indeed a market for what she was offering. Now she just needed to find a way to scale and monetize it.
Once I was able to really finish my customer discovery process and understand who my customers were, then trying to figure out what was the cheaper, faster, quicker, better way to access them. And I realized that that was through what I called gate openers, which were associations and membership organizations where I could make one presentation that I was now doing to one or two or three people at a time in an en masse format and then get customers. And I made it seem exciting because I was one of them, right? I was a woman. I was a person of color. And so I was like the common everyday person. And so that was a huge win that I still was able to maintain the excitement of individual customers, but I was able to reduce my acquisition costs.
She gradually made her way up the customer food chain, landing bigger and bigger clients. In the first 6 months of her company, she had 50 paying customers. 18 months later, she had more than 3,000. And by the time Melissa was ready to step away from that business for something new, the company was working with more than 10,000 clients in a quarter.
I think what was amazing was that I had done it. I had built a scalable company without even really knowing what the heck that meant. But what I didn't do well was build a leadership team. I was so focused on getting the customer experience right and growing the company and the bottom line that I built an amazing customer base and an amazing product and service, but I didn't have the talent. I built a lopsided car and I was fortunate enough that it was still driving, but it wasn't going to get me as far as I really wanted. So it was the perfect time to exit and refocus my efforts and really spend some time reflecting on what I had learned and what was I going to do moving forward.
Melissa had defied all expectations and built a booming business, but she knew that there was still something missing. She sold the keys to the castle to another firm and set her sights on creating something bigger and better. To do that, though, she knew she had more to learn. After the break, Melissa shares the origin story of Eureka, and she explains why creating space for entrepreneurs of all cultures, colors, and backgrounds to thrive is something she believes can change the world.
It takes a lot to grow a business, but one thing's for certain. You've got to have a laser focus on the customer. That's why we use Salesforce Essentials at Mission every day. With Essentials, your small business has access to the same CRM tools driving results for some of the most successful companies on earth. Think Adidas, Amazon, T-Mobile, Toyota, Intuit, Marriott, and tens of thousands more. Track your business health by measuring sales, emails, customer satisfaction, and custom metrics. Go to getessentials.com/thejourney to start your free 90-day trial today.
One month after selling her business, Melissa enrolled in an MBA program. It was exactly what she needed to round out her knowledge about business management and leadership. But after graduation, she didn't jump back into the world of finance that she had left behind. Instead, she worked toward fulfilling a different passion.
When I was in undergrad, I had volunteered for a program called the After School Kids Program. And it was a program where we'd go once or twice a week to volunteer with young people who had been exposed to the criminal justice system. And I remember I used to race there after work in corporate America just to be there and show up. And when I stopped showing up in my suit, it took the kids several weeks, but they kept looking at me weird. And I was like, is there a problem? They're like, we don't want to get too close to you because you're probably going to leave. And I was like, why do you think I'm going to leave? Well, you lost your job because clearly you're showing up awfully casual these days. And I was like, well, not exactly. I didn't lose my job. I left my job. And they were like, well, you're crazy. And we just had this whole dialogue one day. And I realized that they had no concept of entrepreneurship, that it was not even on their radar screen. They didn't even know what their options were. And that was a critical moment that sat with me.
With a fresh perspective from grad school, Melissa decided that there had to be a way to merge her entrepreneurial dreams with giving back to her community.
I decided to start a nonprofit that taught kids about entrepreneurship. And, you know, I knew nothing about running a nonprofit, but was fortunate enough to have enough friends who were also entrepreneurs that we cobbled this thing together that ultimately worked and expanded globally, much to my own surprise even today. But this idea of not just teaching entrepreneurship, but really instilling hope and providing options and helping create opportunities. And I think obviously in hindsight, it was me recreating what I had experienced of someone basically telling me, no, I cannot. And now wanting to pursue that path to having these kids be told you will be nothing. And this is probably the closest you're going to get to anybody who's been successful to saying you can actually be successful. That's what I decided to do. And I did that for almost 10 years.
It was deeply fulfilling work. And there were many success stories to be proud of. But not every day was a good day. And not every outcome was positive.
The hardest thing was when I lost a kid. There was a young man who was 14. And he was released because he was selling drugs. He was head of his household, his mother and three other brothers. In order to participate in our program, you could not be involved in illegal activity. And so he had gone straight, so to speak. And one of his milestones was to get a job. And we mapped out all these places. And I'll never forget, he came back and he said, I can't get a job. And I was like, well, where'd you go? I went to McDonald's. And I was like, you really went to McDonald's and they wouldn't hire you? And this was my own ignorance. And so I went with him and I was like, I don't understand. Like, the kid just wants to sweep the floors. As part of probation, he's got to have a job. And he was like, I'm not paying that kid to do that. And fortunately, I realized that he was employing illegal immigrants and keeping people off the books. And so this kid was like, I'm going to get kicked out of the program. And I was like, don't worry. And we made him promise that he wouldn't get into trouble. And ironically, he didn't, but he got caught in the crossfire and he was killed a week later. And so it was kind of like, wow, like, huh, you could have the best of intentions and they still don't work out. And so that was a rough one in realizing that no matter what you say, it is more important to do But even more important to understand the context in which you're asking someone to do something. And so the program continued, but obviously to this day, I remember him for sure.
That experience further solidified Melissa's belief in the importance of her work. Not only did these kids need to change how they thought about themselves and their futures, society also needed to change how it thought about and supported these kids. That idea became Melissa's guiding philosophy, and when she shared what she thought with David Jakubowski at a pitch competition they were both judging, she found a kindred spirit.
We finally just got to start talking, and we would just go back and forth and kind of critique the entrepreneurs, and every now and then we'd be aligned, but we'd have different reasons why. And his tended to be the orientation of, well, I don't know why they don't know that. And mine was the orientation, I wish somebody had told them that. And so we ended up over meals having real conversations of like, why are some entrepreneurs successful and why are they not? Why are entrepreneurs who they are? And why does the image of an entrepreneur not look like me and more like him? And those were deep conversations to understand the structural barriers that exist, pattern recognition, lack of access to capital, to institutional barriers that start young around disparities in education, to some of the intangibles of lack of role models and peers. Like, I didn't know a single entrepreneur. And those conversations evolved where he says, well, I get it, but can your entrepreneurs be successful? And I was like, absolutely.
Melissa challenged Dave to invite her and her entrepreneurs to Facebook, where he worked at the time, so she could show him what she meant. A week later, Dave followed through.
We took 20 entrepreneurs to Silicon Valley. He set up an entire day. It was an amazing experience. And it culminated with a happy hour and a dinner where he was like, so what'd you think? And I think it was a great way to kind of put a capstone on all of the conversations that these entrepreneurs were just as competent as anybody as he was going to meet that was going to come across his desk at Silicon Valley, but without the appropriate social capital of knowing other entrepreneurs and CEOs, without the structural racism and bias in investing, these folks weren't going to get a check and they weren't going to get there, but their businesses were no less valuable and no less meaningful. And in some ways had greater value to the community because of the job creation component. And then he called me up shortly thereafter and he said, so what are we gonna do next? And I was like, what are we gonna do next? Like, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm just getting back from California. I gotta run a program. And he's like, I wanna try something. And little did I know that based on our conversations, he had put together this program that he thought could really bridge the gap and eliminate some of the disparities between Black and Brown and white entrepreneurs, and then translate even to between men and women, and certainly address some of the geographic barriers that people don't typically come from DC and Buffalo and Atlanta, but they come from Silicon Valley.
Melissa's interest was piqued. She met up with him for the launch of his program, and the initial feedback from attendees was too inspiring to ignore. She and Dave knew they needed to continue this, and that's how Eureka was born.
It took a passion that I've had for years around helping what I call new majority entrepreneurs and being vocal about their economic value and not just the moral imperative, and finding myself in places where I wasn't afraid to speak up. We launched officially November of 2019. It is a platform business that's mission is to democratize economic opportunity by enabling community and reducing the cost and risk associated with starting and growing a small business. Quite ambitious. And so the idea was, how do we really create a North Star and send a signal that anybody can be an entrepreneur while at the same time building the path that people can walk down? So it's a repeatable process to help build scalable businesses, no matter what you look like, where you come from, how old you are, or what your gender is.
Eureka launched in late 2019, and the company is still feeling out how and where it can have the most impact. But even in the short life of the company, lives have already been changed because of Eureka.
One of the greatest things that happened is that because of our mission, and because we stayed true to that, and we'd really spent time cultivating the customer, while not the numbers we wanted, we knew what they needed. We were fortunate enough to be a conduit for a lot of money during COVID-19. We ended up being the deployment partner for all the Facebook grants. We were the deployment partner for all the Salesforce grants. We were the deployment partner for all the WeWork grants. We were able to show that by just throwing money at the problem, that was not going to keep these businesses alive. but they needed to be connected to a valuable power source that was both capital and coaching and community as well, that was going to keep them alive. And so our company pivoted, like I'm sure so many did, but in such a positive, scalable way. We have refined our product offering that we can honestly say we're helping businesses stay alive, survive, and ultimately thrive. And I'd say for me, one of my proudest moments is the amount of money we've been able to move to keep those doors open in communities that otherwise would have been overlooked and underserved. And so it's a great moment of reflection in that we are accomplishing our mission and vision.
Without a doubt, the world we live in shapes how we dream and what is possible. But that doesn't mean we have no say. We shape our own dreams. We morph them to fit into the world that exists. And sometimes we shape the world to make our dreams fit where they wouldn't before. Melissa had a path laid out before her, chosen by others. She could have followed it, but she chose to take a different road instead. And when speed bumps or roadblocks popped up along the way, she changed course or learned a new way to make it through. She shaped the world around her, and now she's helping other entrepreneurs do exactly the same thing. Melissa knows that who we can be does not have to be predetermined. Because in the words of Dr. Mae Jemison, quote, "Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations."
Succeeding as a startup, solo founder, or any small business is an uphill battle. It takes the right mindset and the right tools. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Salesforce Essentials to bring you The Journey. Managing one podcast, let alone a whole media studio, is a challenge to say the least. But Essentials makes it easy to maintain relationships and grow our business. With Essentials, your startup has access to the same CRM driving insights and results for the most successful companies in the world. Use unrivaled Salesforce technology to track customers, sales, emails, and more. You'll know where your business is and where it's headed as you chart the path for your journey. We love using Essentials, and we know you will too. Go to getessentials.com/thejourney to start your free 90-day trial today.